Hour number two of our broadcast, and man, was that a fun conversation at the end of the hour with Carol? Man, she is just absolutely on fire. And seriously, she's the type of person I would love to see in Congress. More people like this. We can do this, folks. We can put more people like this, but we keep falling for the morons. Honestly. And putting the same people in there and expecting different results. Any case, we have a few calls. We will try to zip through very quickly. We'll give you just a few seconds because we've got Faith Focus Friday straight ahead. Craig, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Vince. Wanted to make a question about some of these landowners that seem ideologically opposed to the wall. If they have the same ideological opposition to people having their money, which is a measure, which is their property, a measurement of the time of their life spent working, being taken away to support liberal causes. Because I have a feeling a lot of these landowners down there, some are probably conservatives and some are liberal and opposed to it because they think it's wrong to have their property taken for the greater good of the country. But I wonder if they have the same feeling when it comes to other people's money being taken from them for what things they think are okay.
Well, that's a very good question, Craig. Thank you very much. Jerry, what are your thoughts? Make it quick, sir.
Hey, good morning, Vince. After hearing Miss Carol, it's a greater day in America, brother. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to drop these red pills to my brothers. You know, they talk about how their income taxes are going up or they're getting more money back, these things like that. I just break it down in language they can understand, man. I'm like, look, man, they sabotage our families, bro.
Yep. You know what I'm saying? And it's time to put a stop to it, Jerry. We will definitely talk again. Let's go out to Joe. Got about 15, 20 seconds here.
Well, just very shortly, the fact is Republican Party don't represent us either because it is the party of the Chamber of Commerce.
Whoa. Wow. That was loaded and very true, unfortunately. We'll continue our discussion on many of these subjects ahead. I came across a blog post around the Christmas season that just really resonated for so many reasons. Betrayal is not the end of the road. Here's how it starts. My good friend in Tulsa says betrayal is one of those amazing things God uses to shape his life in us. I know it doesn't feel like it. It more likely feels like the end of the road when someone you love and you thought loved you decides his own word is meaningless and you are of less value to him than what he can gain by lying to you or lying about you. Most often it takes both. I've gone through this, the blogger says. With three different people in my life, it's the absolute worst. The first time cost me everything. My involvement with a congregation I helped to plant, my salary, my health insurance, my reputation in a community, and countless friendships I treasured. And this was all 2 weeks before Christmas. In 1994, I wasn't offered a dime of severance pay, just an avalanche of lies about my family. And he says, I wish I knew this guy Tom Moen back then. The person we're talking about is my good friend, Wayne Jacobson, who is back with us for Faith Focus Friday. Good morning and Happy New Year, brother.
Good morning, Vince. Happy New Year to you as well.
Well, this is not exactly what people want to hear about. If you want to talk about, you know, great gospel content, they're not going to be thinking betrayal is not the end of the road. They're going to be thinking the very opposite. Why are you so optimistic about this?
Well, I've just been through it a couple of times, and it's true in Scripture that's a common theme there, and Jesus has been through it. And I think most people I know have been through some significant forms of betrayal in their life, maybe from their spouse, maybe from a business partner, maybe from a friend. And I think the good news is there is life beyond that.
So let's talk about this and break it down. The betrayal is real. It's not imagined. So what's the first place to start as a person begins to address this?
Well, for me, you said to stay focused, right? For me, it's always get it back to Jesus and to really realize that part of the human condition, part of our brokenness as a culture and society is we talk about how much we value relationships, and then we act in ways that subvert those very relationships. Our own personal needs, crisis, insecurities, whatever, we end up acting in ways that subvert the very things we want the most. So my first thing is, how do I get back to Jesus and really put this betrayal inside him, inside of my walk with him, so that he can help me process it, so that I can get through this bit of pain, which to me, when I talk about getting through the pain, the circumstance that the blog begins with, it took 2 years for me to get out of that pain. So I'm not talking about something that's quick. You just take care of it in an evening or two. It can be a long season of taking my pain inside my relationship with the Lord and letting him then rework that in my heart and life. Because he said, you are blessed when you are lied about, insulted, betrayed in my name. He said, you're blessed when it doesn't feel like it. Man, it never feels like it. But if we can begin to think that maybe this is something God can use, and I don't mean God caused it, just something God can use to bring me to a better place.
To redeem it. To redeem it, right?
Yeah.
And that's...
to bring me to a better place through it, sure.
One of the things, and I think is so important about this, is that I love how you said this. We've got to take this immediately to Jesus. He's got to provide the balm of healing for us in our hearts, right?
Yeah, the comfort, the sense that, and I like this, you know, he's been through it in worse ways than I have. So he's not just someone that can, you know, theorize about our pain. He was betrayed by his closest friend. He was denied by his friends. He went through this in dramatic ways, and then he knows everything I'm feeling and how to work those feelings through to something that allow me to be more redemptive in the situation I'm in.
One of the important elements about this, too, and I've walked this so many times, it's so important to make the decision to forgive, is it not?
It may take time, but yeah, eventually, if you don't forgive, and it's not so much that you're letting the perpetrator off the hook. Forgiveness lets you off the hook. It keeps the pain from continuing into your future. So forgiveness is a way of no longer wanting judgment against the person who's done this to me. And that, there's a great liberty inside our own hearts that now can look for new options, new things that God might have for us without that person who lied, cheated, whatever, still pulling us back into their orbit.
You know, and this is part of the challenge, is that we avoid allowing the things that were done to us to turn us into the very people who have caused us so much pain.
Yeah, it's almost always true that the worst oppressors are people who were oppressed themselves. And it's possible to let that pain perpetuate in a way where I strike out and hurt other people by doing the same thing that was done to me, or even worse, becoming so self-protective because I don't want that ever to happen to me again, that I deny myself the relationships that are in my life that are not going to be abusive or not going to betray me. And it can have that work, too. So I think we want to cut off pretty quickly. And like I said, may take 6 months to 2 years, but we want to cut off that influence from the pain that's going to somehow come back to hurt us or hurt people that we love.
Yes, that is very important. And part of this, and I love how you said this, forgiveness does have to be a process. We make the decision. We have to keep making the decision over and over again and engage this. I hope you can hold with us through the break, because there's a couple of other things we've got to tackle with this. We're talking about the issue of betrayal. It's not the end of the road, even though it may feel like that. Our discussion with Wayne Jacobson continues. Back to the Vince Coakley radio program, Faith Focus Friday. Betrayal, not the end of the road at all. But Wayne has a friend, Wayne Jacobson, who said betrayal is one of the most amazing things God uses to shape his life in us. And we were talking about some of the things that we can do. And one of the challenges here, and I can speak to this so well, is that the temptation for so many people is to just withdraw. And to, as a result of this, not only to respond in kind to abusive behavior, but the other temptation is to just withdraw on relationships and give up.
Yeah, it is for too many people. And that may be the purpose of the enemy in breaking up human relationships exactly that way. I've had people do it to me. I'm an author. I've had people do it to me on collaborative works, and we collaborate, we make promises to each other in that collaboration, and then somebody betrays those promises. And then I find myself a few years later right back into another collaboration with somebody else, and people look at me and say, are you crazy? You got killed the last time you did this. And I'm saying, well, actually, I've done it a number of times. Most of them have turned out well, but I'm not going to let the few that went bad keep me from doing the thing that I think most nurtures a good writing project, which is a collaboration of ideas rather than just one person.
Right. And that's what's so wonderful about this. And again, we can only do this when we have divine help. We have Jesus actually form his life in us, replace that hurt with hope, and replace that pain that we experience with a steady flow of his love and faith, so that we can move on and not be controlled by our past.
That's why it's important that we do keep moving on, because if we let the betrayal own us and we stop, as you said, you know, we cut off other people because we're afraid of being betrayed again. If we stay in that cesspool of our own pain, then it's going to have its work in us. But if we keep moving on and we find out, no, through that betrayal, there are other doors that open that I wouldn't have seen or couldn't have known if I'd been involved with the thing previous. So by moving on and seeing what other opportunities unfold, what new relationships come into your life, then you realize that betrayal doesn't own me. There's life beyond betrayal. There's a zillion opportunities in God's heart that he can lead us to, and not let one person's brokenness or weakness destroy us.
That is absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. By the way, I don't want to forget this point. I heard this for the first time a few weeks ago. This line is incredible. Bitterness and unforgiveness are the super glue that bind us to the past.
No, that's good, yeah.
That is a really good line that I've heard just recently. And be able to move forward in redemptive. Look at your life and just give us one example for you of how this has worked out better for you in the end, Wayne.
Yeah, and I don't know that I would say better for me. I always look back at and I've had three significant betrayals in my life. And I look back at those going, I don't know what could have happened if those relationships hadn't been so easily discarded. So I wouldn't say better, but I think God's got plan B, C, D, E, and F. God's got other things to do with my life. I had one person in a writing project absolutely just cheat me financially in terms of how we'd agreed to split the money. And he just cheated me. And I was going to, you know, really put the nail down and see if we could figure this out. And I just felt like God spoke to my heart. And he said, you know what, Wayne, let me take care of you. Let me take care of you. I'm going to make up for this in your life. And then I got involved in another writing project that went crazy financially. And God more than made up for me whatever someone else had stolen from me.
Right. That's what I wanted to get to, Wayne, is just how God is able to redeem these experiences, and ultimately he's going to triumph in us.
Yeah, and he's going to take us on. And someone else's flesh doesn't diminish the promise or hope of God in our own life.
Wow.
And that's what we've got to know.
That is really good. One of the things that I've learned, Lisa, I have not talked with you about my recent experience where I went to a conference some weeks ago. We're going to have to talk off air about this, but I learned a very important value that I think you could probably identify, which is an idea called separation, where we learn, and people kind of in trite ways have said this for years, you know, we hate the sin and love the sinner. But the idea behind this is we separate the sin from the person. So in other words, you know, a person's got bitterness or betrayal has been expressed toward me. I need to separate that betrayal from that person. And rather than look at that individual in that way and hold that to that person, recognize, you know, the scripture says we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. So ultimately, I need to recognize this is something that's done. You know, I need to look at that entity that has been, that sin that's been committed against me, and not hold that person. That's a very important thing for me that I've learned recently.
And that's good. And I think that mostly applies in relationships where the betrayal comes out of someone's brokenness and pain.
Yes.
I mean, Jesus does that with Peter, right? He's right back there with Peter. And he's loving him through his denial, and that relationship binds back together again. But Jesus didn't necessarily deal with the Pharisees, who were not just a moment of weakness. They had some evil in their life out to destroy someone, and he didn't hold resentment against them.
Right.
But he didn't keep them in their life either.
Right.
That would diminish him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bottom line in all of this, and I think you expressed this so well, that ultimately, betrayal does not own me. Betrayal does not own me. We need to own that and repeat that.
Yeah, otherwise you get really limited by what that does. And I think what the kickoff of the piece of how God uses that, when you've been through betrayal and you've come out on the other side dealing with some of the things we talked about, forgiveness, redemptive, seeing what hope is beyond that, you become a different person internally. You'll treat people differently for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Because you know how much betrayal hurts.
Yes.
And you won't do it to other people. You'll be a person of your word. You'll be a person who cares about other people, who put them first, sometimes even risk your own hurt for someone else's benefit because you don't want them to be in the same pain you were in.
And, you know, I can testify to this, Wayne, and how so many times in some of the things that I've been through in recent years, that my level of empathy and identification for people has increased exponentially just over the last 10 years for the very reason you described, because I've been there. And now when I encounter other people who are going through this, I'm able to comfort and encourage them in ways that I never would have been able to do otherwise.
Yeah, that's right. The phrase that everybody always uses is hurt people.
Yes.
The other thing is healed people love people. I mean, once we get healing in the places we've been hurt, you'll, like you said, you'll see people differently, you'll respond to them differently, and that's how God puts more love in the world.
Absolutely. Wayne, it is always awesome to talk with you, and we may as well finish out the half hour in this particular segment. Anything else that's on your heart that you'd like to share, for that matter, in this last minute?
Go ahead.
In this last minute that we have.
Yeah, some of the things that Tom Moen talked about in this little four things God uses, betrayal is one of them. He talks about being involved in the good heresy is one of them, which I think is just an interesting thought that, what, be involved in good heresy? But once you realize something you believe didn't turn out to be true, you'll be more humble about the other things you believe in a way that invites people in more effectively. And he talks about a very specific heresy he got involved in and then realized that what the thing he'd been teaching wasn't even true. And that softened his heart and made him more humble in learning the things he did learn and in teaching them to other people.
That's excellent.
Amazing, the things God uses.
That you're absolutely right. And very often we're surprised by these things. Wayne, absolutely awesome to talk with you as usual. And God bless you. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Vince. God bless you.
Back on the Vince Coakley radio program. Always enjoy the conversation with Wayne Jacobson. On the text line, thank you, Vince. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, a verse I've struggled with for a long time. Where I was blind, now I see. Thanks again. This person, please be sure to notify all of us when you're having a walk on water class. Sorry, Vince, I do believe your heart is in the right place. Believe me, if somebody is, is gifted in that area, the Lord, you know, enables them to do that, and they have classes, I will be there. There should be more men like Wayne in this world. Is Wayne married? Yes. Happily married for many years. Many years. The human condition. I'm 57. From what I've experienced, this is the human condition. People immediately forget where they came from and their roots, and they will step all over you. We do live in the age of mass narcissism. Don't forget. Yeah, and this is one of the things I found, and I think many of you know this. How many times do people do some just downright reprehensible stuff? And a lot of people don't even know. They don't even know what they've done. I mean, one of my experiences, for instance, was, well, several of them in churches. And to this day, none of them have ever owned up to, not just things that have happened to myself and my family, but many others. They're clueless. They're kind of like Mr. Magoo. And, you know, it's pretty sad. You know, so if you're waiting around sometimes for other people to be fixed, so to speak, you're really in for a big disappointment. You have to move on and focus on you. What's God doing in me? Really important. If you start forgiving people, you're bound to feel the pain of betrayal over again. Learn and be strengthened by your experience. Absolutely. Here's a person. And I understand your pain. I had this conversation with someone just the other day. God either does not know of all the suffering in the world, therefore he does nothing about it, or he does know of all the suffering in the world and he chooses to do nothing about it. Neither of those things are true, but I hope you will find his hand at work in your life. Here's someone raising a question. Did Jesus ever build a wall? I can tell you that he did instruct his people in the Old Testament to build a wall, to rebuild a wall. Read the story of Nehemiah. Great story. Let's go out to a call from Joe. Good morning. Are you there, Joe?
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing, sir?
Doing very well, sir.
Well, my comment about all the forgiveness stuff, and I've been betrayed to the ultimate level on many, many, many occasions. I'm 61, by the way. And I could tell you, I mean, the worst of the worst of the worst. You can't get any worse than that. And, you know, I didn't have to suffer the punishment Jesus did, but I suffered a lot. But anyway, there is levels of forgiveness. I've learned I can't take vengeance. I can't take any vengeance on anybody. Mm. So that's, you know, that's the first thing, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But, like, there was a homeless guy that I got thrown in with. I had two roommates. One roommate brought him in, and we helped him out, and we gave him money. We did everything. And long story short, he ended up stealing thousands of dollars of my stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
And so anyway, what happened was, you know, I caught up with him. I was much younger then, and I was very tempted to beat the you-know-what out of him. I mean, he stole my dad's watch that my dad gave me, or like my family gave me when he died.
Mm.
You know, I mean, we're talking, you know, everything. My camera I'd saved up for 10 years to buy, he stole it, you know. And he never, you know, and he said he was going to get the stuff back to me. You know, I was tempted to beat him up because I didn't think he would, but I didn't. I let him see what he'd do. He blew town. And then he called me up on a Sunday morning at 4 a.m. in Arizona, saying if I send him $500, he would make sure I got my stuff back to me.
No.
And I basically told him no.
Oh, my goodness.
And you don't know, I spent 3 days down at Charlotte Mecklenburg courthouse trying to get a warrant taken out for him, because I went to the magistrate, and it was because it was well over about $2,000 worth of stuff then, which is worth a lot more now. They said, well, it has to be a felony. Well, I went up to the district attorney's office, and they said, we don't want to prosecute it as a felony. And it took me 3 days of going back and forth, because every time I'd go back to the magistrate's office, I'd get a different magistrate, and I'd go up and I'd get a different DA, and 3 days with no work. I mean, I stayed down there for 3 solid days before finally I said, listen, you guys got to talk to each other. I need a warrant out for this guy. So anyway, he finally showed up in town, and he did get arrested. And we took it to court. And the court system had totally messed up. The policeman messed up the paperwork totally, said that he stole money. We never said he stole money. We said we gave him money. You know, so they had to throw it out of court. And at the time, they were letting loose murderers and rapists because they didn't have the prison space. So I went ahead and said, forget it. You know, they're not going to do nothing with him anyway. And, you know, so later on I saw him. He was with another church group. And I just warned the church group. I said, listen, you know, he's never offered to pay me back. He's never repented of what he did. So I advise you to be careful, this man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, now I would never beat him up on the street. You know, I would never, you know, but at the same time, you think I'd ever bring that man back in my house?
Probably not. And that's certainly understandable, Joe. I certainly sad to hear how things have turned out for you. And again, this is one of those things where, you know, no good deed goes unpunished sometimes. So we appreciate your effort there, generosity. But hopefully you're not going to be close to the possibility of helping someone else, right? Just because one person betrayed you. Let's go out to Gerald in Cowpens. Good morning, Gerald.
Hey, good morning, sir. Hey, this is for your caller, Carol. Ma'am, I thought it was we the people, not our people. And then she said, we are the ones that's watching TV. I mean, why not get off your desk and find a job?
All righty. Well, you've raised a point about other people, and I think Carol would probably agree with you that a lot of people are unfortunately, not as diligent as they should be. So that's just a point that she's making. Absolutely appropriate. On the text line as well, Vince, the choice of God is responsible or powerless is a false binary choice. I love that you recognize these. I know you like those. The truth is, he's given his people the dominion and authority to bring his kingdom to this lost and dying world because most Christians are ignorant or apathetic. This, it will continue to our regret. John out of Calpins, you are making a great point. Because part of our, let me just say this. Many more of us who call ourselves Christians need to be more focused on the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and bringing that to bear here on earth. Ever thought about that? That that's our responsibility now, to manifest the life of the kingdom, which will be a foretaste of what is to come. A look at the day in history coming up. Back the final stretch of the Vince Coakley radio program on this Friday. Several things we still want to get to before the end. Let's first take a look at the day in history. Go down I-85 to our good friend Lonzo in our Greenville studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Awesome. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Pretty good. Let us take a look at some of the questions on our list here. There are a total of five that begin in the 20th century, beginning in 1908. You might call this the first text message. A message of this type was sent from the Eiffel Tower. What means was this transmitted?
It was a telegraph?
You are correct. The telegraph in 1908. 1935, this person, the first to fly solo from Hawaii to California, a very famous woman.
Amelia Earhart.
You are correct. 1973, the American League adopted this particular rule. Pitchers didn't have to bat. What is it called?
Designated hitter.
Yes, the designated hitter rule. 2002, the first terrorist prisoners arrived at this facility in 2002.
Guantanamo Bay.
You are correct. And last but not least, let's see if Lonzo can go for a sweep. 2010, a massive earthquake killed more than 316,000 people. What country was this? I can give you a hint if you need one.
Yeah, because I should know this, and my mind is blank.
The hint is I went there in 2010, and it's also on the same island where I went 2 weeks ago for vacation, the other side of this island.
Haiti.
You are correct. Lonzo goes 5 for 5. Very impressive. Any special plans for the weekend?
Just football and the Upstate Pulse. That's it.
All right. And for those interested in listening to that, how can they listen and watch?
7 to 9 p.m. on 106.3 WORD. Also, the radio.com app and on the 106.3 WORD Facebook page and the Upstate Pulse Facebook page. We do Facebook Live for the entire show.
That's right. So you can actually see these crazy people for yourself. So
we are so beautiful. You would not believe how beautiful we are.
And not only that, your beauty is only outmatched by your humility. So thought I would add that.
Duh.
Have a great weekend, man.
See ya.
A few items I want to get to for the end of the broadcast today. One of them we've mentioned for several days, and I haven't seen a story on this today. Oddly enough, they're CNN promoting their big, whatever they've done to, let's just say, venerate Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Any case, they have done some sort of special, Mark, on Ruth Bader Ginsburg, something on her life story. So, that is what I was mentioning. Now, here's what's going on. The Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has missed oral arguments for several days this week. And we've learned the White House is actually reaching out to political allies and conservative activist groups to prepare for a replacement. They're already looking ahead to this. And this is not a surprise. I mentioned that she missed oral arguments for the first time in her 25 years on the bench. She was nominated to the court way back in 1993 by President Bill Clinton. Announced in late December, she underwent a surgical procedure to remove two cancerous growths from her lungs. The White House, we've learned, is taking the temperature on possible shortlist candidates, reaching out to key stakeholders, and making sure people are informed on the process. The goal here is to make sure they are not, quote, flat-footed. So that's going on. Earlier, I think I may have mentioned this yellow vest movement. We did not have the time to get to this today. We're going to talk about this next week because this is a movement that's not going away. This is only spreading. So I want to make sure that we take some time to very carefully discuss this. And I think people have, for those of you who may not be familiar, I think one thing that's been compared to this is the Occupy movement here in the United States of America. There are similarities here. So that'll give you some context to understand this. We will talk about it. The other thing to talk about before we go, the possibility of some bad weather this weekend. We discussed this earlier in the week. Some areas within our listening area could experience some snow. Some may get freezing rain, and some may be rain entirely. National Weather Service saying Charlotte could see sleet fall sometime tomorrow afternoon. Hopefully, there will be no accumulation. Otherwise, we're just talking about rain, but there's the possibility of freezing rain on Sunday morning. So we would just encourage you to stay tuned to this station for all the latest weather developments. As I mentioned, we have a pretty vast area all the way from the upstate of South Carolina all the way to parts north of Charlotte. So stay close to the weather forecast right here on this station. And if need be, go out and get those supplies you need. Go ahead and clean off the shelves of milk and bread. You know how the drill works. Any case, it's been great to be with you. Have yourselves a great and safe weekend, and God bless you. Take care.